Today is Wednesday, October 5th. It's 2 p.m. The city council has been at recess and will come back to order. Carla, can you please call the roll?
Leonard?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Adams?
Here. We have two items on the agenda this afternoon. Both are land use related. And can you please read the title for the first item?
Item 1070, Appeal of Cottonwood Capital Property Management, LLC, Frank Fleck and Gary Gossett, against hearing officer's decision to approve with conditions the application of Recology Oregon Material Recovery, Inc. for a conditional use to establish a waste-related use that accepts and processes food waste that is blended with yard debris within a fully enclosed building at 6400 Southeast 101st Avenue, LU 10194-818-CUAD.
If we could hear opening remarks and advisories from Deputy City Attorney Catherine Beaumont.
Thank you. I wanted to just, since it's been a while since the council heard this matter, I wanted to briefly review where we are procedurally, the purpose of today's hearing, the decisional options for the council, and just a few preliminary matters. First, the council held an evidentiary hearing on this appeal on July 13th. At the conclusion of that hearing, the council continued this matter to August 31st and provided opportunities for the parties to submit additional evidence as follows. Until July 27th at 5 o'clock p.m., all parties could submit new evidence. Until August 10th at 5 o'clock p.m., BDS could submit a response to the evidence and questions council posed at the July 13th hearing. And until August 24th at 5 o'clock p.m., all parties could rebut evidence submitted during the initial open record period. At that point, the evidentiary record was closed. On August 31st, the council continued this matter until today. The purpose of today's continued hearing is primarily for council discussion and deliberation, not additional testimony. The council may, if it wishes, ask questions of staff or the parties, but to the extent possible, questions should be narrowly focused and limited to the evidence in the record. If council intends to make any decision today, in most instances, it should be tentative only. And we would need at least 3 weeks to prepare findings to support the council's final decision. The decisional options for the council today are three. One, the council can uphold the hearings officer's decision as is, and this is the only option that would result in making a final decision today to approve Recology's proposal. A second option is for the council to uphold the hearings officer's decision with modifications. This would be a tentative decision today to approve Recology's proposal, and the council would need to set a future date for the adoption of findings and final decision making. The third option would be to overturn the hearings officer's decision, and this would result in a tentative decision to deny Recology's proposal. Again, the council would need to set a future date for the adoption of findings and final decision making. A few preliminary matters before you start. First, I understand that Commissioner Fish, who was not present at the prior hearing, has reviewed the record and is prepared to participate. Is that correct, Commissioner Fish?
Yes, Catherine. I did. I was not present at the original hearing. I have reviewed carefully the transcript and the complete record, and I also have some ex parte contact declarations to make at the appropriate time.
All right. Secondly, if there is any evidence that was received after the close of the evidentiary record on August 24th, the council should expressly reject that evidence unless it determines to do otherwise. And third, again, the council members should disclose any ex parte contacts they've had since the July 13th hearing. And that concludes what I need to do to set the stage.
Okay. I need to go through my little script. Unless you've got something.
Nope.
Okay. So as you heard today, council will discuss and deliberate the information that was submitted to the record after the initial July 13th hearing. In a moment, we will hear from Senior Planner Sheila Frugoli from the Bureau of Development Services about their staff finding in response to the additional information that was submitted. But before we hear from Sheila, do any members of council have any ex parte contacts that they wish to declare? We'll start down here.
Thank you, Mayor Adams. I have a bunch. I have reviewed constituent emails, all of which are in the official record, and consistent with our practice, I have not responded to any of them. I have read some of the media coverage of this issue, including editorials, letters to the editor, and news stories that have appeared in a number of local papers. Members of my staff met with Tom Rask, who represents the appellants, on July 14th, and later with Gary Conkling, who represents the applicant, on August 3. My staff shared the general content of those meetings, all of which is contained in the official record with me, consistent with our practice. And I have one additional sort of interesting ex parte contact to disclose, which is on a recent trip out to the Lentz area, I actually drove into Freeway Lands to take a look at the site and drove around just to orient myself. I had been given a map as part of my package, but I thought actually seeing the site would be helpful. That actually technically constitutes an ex parte contact, so I'll disclose all of those.
Well, in that case, I passed the site twice a day, so.
Shame actually, on you. I went in.
I was just curious, did you need a map to get to Lentz, or once you were in Lentz, get around?
Thank you. See, we know whose side they're on that one. Thank you.
I forgot to say no booing, no hissing.
From the council.
No clapping, no burping, except if it's Commissioner Leonard.
I felt the love, and I want to thank my friends in the audience. Go ahead, Commissioner.
We're working our way from north to south. Commissioner Saltzman? I read various newspaper stories, including Trash Talk in Lentz, including a couple of Oregonian story in response to an inquiry from Commissioner Amanda Fritz's office regarding a list of residents who were selected to participate in the Lentz Neighborhood Association subcommittee to work on the Good Neighbor Agreement. My staff, Rehana Ansari, raise your hand, please, contacted Dave Dutra of Recology yesterday to ask him a question regarding the Lentz Neighborhood Association subcommittee that was formed to work on the Good Neighbor Agreement. During her phone conversation, Dave Dutra informed Ms. Ansari that, as far as he understood, no subcommittee had been formed yet. As far as he knew, names were collected from residents who expressed an interest in participating in the GNA process during their presentation to LNA's general meeting in July. According to Dave Dutra, the Lentz Neighborhood Association land use chair recommended holding off on any finalization of the Good Neighbor Agreement until council deliberation and discussion during today's hearing so that the Good Neighbor Agreement could reflect the outcomes of the hearing. I think that's it. Commissioner Fitz.
I also, of course, have had the multiple emails and letters, have recycled styrofoam at the facility in the past. And the emails that came in before the close of the record, I have read and responded to. The emails that came in after the record, my staff has read and responded to. There are a few that came in over the past week or so that I did look at, and none of them contained any new information. And so I just responded to saying that I would be part of this hearing and make my statement as at the public hearing.
Commissioner, and I have received emails and one Lentz neighborhood resident who came in to visit me.
All right.
Adams, it would be appropriate to ask if any members of the audience want to either ask questions about at the council about ex parte contacts that you've disclosed or wish to rebut them.
Does any member of the council want to ask additional questions about the ex parte context that you've just hit a report on and or rebut the report of any member of the city council on ex parte contacts? I hear none.
Mayor, may I just make one other comment? I didn't read the last sentence of my script.
Sure.
The contacts that I've identified have not impacted my decision in this matter. My conclusions are based solely on the information contained in the record.
Do any other member of council have other matters that need to be discussed before we begin the hearing? And it is the assumption of the chair of this meeting, me, that what Commissioner Fish just said, unless I hear otherwise, also holds true for everyone else on council. All right. Hearing affirmation by silence. Since both sides have had the opportunity to submit additional information and rebut, we will not accept additional testimony unless it is in regards to information in the record. In this case, the testimony will need to be focused and limited, and I will interrupt you. I will ask staff to interrupt you if necessary. Sheila, can you please provide an overview of your recent staff finding dated August 10th, 2011? Sheila can then answer any questions, and they can be addressed with information contained in the record.
Good afternoon. I'm Sheila Fregoli, the assigned BDS planner for this land use review. I'm here today prepared to answer questions and or to quickly summarize my memo to you dated August 10th. As you know, this memo was prepared in response to the testimony and information submitted into the record on or after July 13th, that the date of the appeal hearing. The record was held open 2 weeks, and a significant amount of testimony, documents, evidence, and arguments were submitted. Included in the record are four memos from staff. Staff reviewed all of the information and recommends that the hearings officer's decision be upheld. But to respond to concerns raised by opponents as well as counsel, the August 10th memo recommends changes to conditions of approval. Would you like me to summarize the key elements of the August 10th memo? Okay. The first topic covered in the memo is source of material. On July 27th, I submitted a memo that alerted counsel to a question about the hearings officer and what he approved and what the applicant intends to do. In June, hearings officer Gregory Frank determined that the other approved recology facility at North Suttle Road had been approved for only blended food and yard debris waste that originates from residential sources. Given that Mr. Dave Dutra testified to you that Recology intends to accept waste from commercial uses, such as restaurants, staff was compelled to alert counsel that the decision needs to specifically identify what the source of materials that should be or can be allowed at the Southeast facility. In my August 10th memo, I offered two options. Option one, you could approve the facility, but the approval would specifically state that only residential source food and yard debris waste could be accepted there. As an alternative, the council decision could give Recology more flexibility in the source or types of food waste that would be accepted at the facility. If so, staff recommends changes to conditions that require the applicants to document via the building permit that the aeration and biofilter system be installed in the facility and that it will provide sufficient odor control for the potentially large volume of commercial sourced food waste. Also, a condition should be imposed that requires the leachate containment system be sized adequately to accommodate the liquids from both residential and commercial source food waste, as well as accommodate the liquid from truck and equipment washing. The second topic covered was the level of intensity. Concerns were raised about the level of intensity or size of the operation that would be approved. To address this concern, staff recommends a condition that limits the number of trucks coming to the site with food waste to 35 trucks per day. This, of course, means that there could be up to 70 garbage hauler trucks daily.
And just to clarify, that's yes. Trips, not the same truck going back and forth.
35 trucks, but then that would mean 70 trips.
Right. Yeah. Thank you.
Yes. The condition would also limit the number of Recology trucks which transport the material to its final composting location. That limit would be 10 trips per day. Also, to control intensity, staff recommends a condition that limits the hours when food waste may be accepted at the site between the hours of 7 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday through Friday and 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday. Next, in addressing monitoring and inspections, so that complaints or monitoring are allowed to occur without delay or obstruction, staff recommends a condition that requires Recology to allow unscheduled, unannounced visits into the facility by DEQ, Metro, and City of Portland code inspectors. To address possible noise issues, the BDS noise control officer recommends a condition that requires additional noise analysis submitted by Recology if Recology wishes to conduct nighttime operations at the facility. The noise code sets lower decibel limits during the hours of 10 p.m. and 7 a.m. This condition would require the applicant to be proactive in documenting that the lower noise standard would be met during the nighttime hours. Regarding stormwater impacts, staff is not recommending any additional conditions. The proposed containment in the building will reduce the occurrence of tire track out. And at building permit review, BES staff will verify that all source control and stormwater management requirements are met. In regards to emergency flood management, at the hearing on July 13th, citizens raised concerns about Johnson Creek flooding and the potential of food waste polluting the area. Even though the facility is not located within the 100-year floodplain, if council sees the need, it could apply a condition that requires Recology to remove all food waste materials from the facility prior to a flooding event. And then lastly, regarding a good neighbor agreement, to acknowledge the communications that have already occurred between the Lentz Neighborhood Association and Recology, staff recommends a condition be added that requires the parties to finalize a good neighbor agreement. BDS does not recommend a condition that requires enforcement of the elements of the good neighbor agreement. Any questions?
I do. So in the original hearings officer's decision, this is relating to the issue that I raised at the last hearing on traffic impacts, and I appreciate the proposal you've made. In the hearings officer's original report that we considered at our last hearing, the total number of trips at the site without any changes then was 290 trips?
I'm sorry, do you have a page that
it's
I can look at?
It's on page 9 of the decision of the hearings officer, toward the second to the last paragraph. It says the existing uses at the site generate 290 trips with 15 occurring in the a.m. peak hour and 5 occurring.
Yeah, I believe that's the count for all of the existing facilities at the site right now.
And what the hearings, or apparently what Recology was recommending was a total of 400 trips, an increase of 110 extra trips a day. And what you're recommending then is 70 trips, so 40 fewer.
Well, staff is recommending to specifically limit the garbage hauler trucks, which we can identify through the logging, the logs that are kept by Recology, the number of garbage haulers, as well as tell Recology the number of truck trips that they can do to take the compost to the or to take the food waste to the composting facility. There are other trips that are generated at that site. Recology allows yard debris folks to bring their yard debris to the site and other activities. So this would account for all of the trips, but to really identify and limit the level of intensity, the major intensity at the site, we're recommending that we limit garbage hauler trucks and Recology trucks.
So that distinguishes what you're proposing is distinguished how from the current activity?
It's not distinguished, but it's specific so that we can, and those are measurable things that we could monitor, our garbage hauler trips to or trucks to the site and the Recology trips. That's included in the count that they gave us in their traffic analysis.
So it's still not clear in my head, so I need to, because this was a fundamental issue for me, the number of trips, because just to be clear on the record, there was a discrepancy between your testimony and the testimony of Mr. Dutra. He said that the number of trips to the site was dictated by the capacity of the site, and you disagreed with him on the record, and you said, and I took notes, that's not true, that the site did have the capacity except more. So for me, that was a fundamental discrepancy that, so I'm happy you're addressing this point, but I need to thoroughly understand what we're doing.
The the Portland Office of Transportation or Bureau of Transportation analyzed the traffic and information, the information submitted by the applicant, and finds that there is ample capacity for traffic in regards to traffic impacts. That was not the concern. The reason for staff proposing the garbage hauler limit and the recology limit is to address your concern about intensity in this facility expanding far beyond what folks are envisioning.
Exactly. And to be clear, that was my concern, and my fear was that contrary to the testimony from Recology, that there was more capacity at the site to have more transportation. He testified that wasn't accurate. You contradicted that, and I agree with you. What you're saying now is that you're recommending that we amend into the findings a maximum of 70 trips per day for just the garbage vehicles. And that's in addition to the existing 290 trips that are at the site. So that would be a total of 460 trips. And so I'm trying. I'm sorry?
360.
I'm sorry, 360 additional trips. And that's down from a total of 400 trips that would have occurred. So is there some possibility that the trips that you're not making a recommendation to, that is the 290 trips, could somehow increase by the expanded capacity of the site to take in food waste?
Yes, I get there is that potential.
What would that circumstance be that would cause that to happen?
If private haulers came to the site, I suppose.
Private haulers. And so what would be an example of that?
A private hauler is a landscaper who brings the yard debris material to the site.
Would there be instances where private haulers would bring food waste?
I can't answer that. Yeah.
It's my assumption that would not be allowed.
Okay.
We're trying to limit the number of food-related truck trips to the site. The site is obviously the total number of trips to the and by site, do you mean freeway lands or site? I just want to make sure that...
This site that we're considering.
So we're just, when we say site, we mean the Recology site. So the number of food-related trips serviced by the company, provided by the company, composting-related trips is limited as described in your description, and I hope that's clear. Now, whether as a drop-off site for yard waste and other things, that is not capped, and we have inspection provisions in here related to the food scrap. So that it's actually, and again, it can be somewhat confusing because it's food scraps combined with yard debris. Those trips, anything with yard debris in it is limited as described. But if neighbors or somebody else is driving, and I can't remember if even private folks can drop off stuff, but if a landscaper drops off loads that do not contain food scraps, that is not right now limited.
So essentially, this allows 35 trips by garbage trucks in and out to deposit.
Yeah, 35 trucks, which would mean 70 trips.
70 yes. trips, 35 trucks in and out that currently are not allowed. And how will we monitor that?
It is my understanding that DEQ and Metro requires logs be kept, as well as the hearings officer imposed a condition that requires, we're recommending a condition that requires logs be kept as
and
well.
Who monitors those logs?
We have in here the
scheduled or unannounced visits.
Thank you. By our inspectors.
By somebody from BDS.
Yes.
DEQ, Metro, and City of Portland code inspectors.
So we're not relying on any one of those, but all three of them can.
Thank you.
Commissioner Fish? Fritz, the F's.
Does anybody else have any more questions, clarifying questions?
I have one clarifying question. The last sentence of your potential conditions of approval about good neighbor agreement.
Yes.
You recommend against requiring compliance with the GNA as it cannot supersede the authority various permitting jurisdictions have to address violations. I'm just curious, unless I'm missing something, can't we have them operate on parallel tracks, an enforceable good neighbor agreement that deals with those issues and the other conditions? This suggests that it cannot supersede the authority. Am I misreading that, Commissioner Fritz?
Well, the challenge has always been with good neighbor agreements that except in convenience stores, they're not considered conditions of approval of the land use. So what I'm going to propose is that we incorporate any of the huge elements, the necessary elements of the good neighbor agreement as standards of conditions of approval.
Without getting to the water's edge of compliance.
Yes, because the intent with the good neighbor agreement is to partner and cooperate and collaborate to get to be good neighbors.
Okay, that's what I was trying to understand how they fit together. So that answers my question.
So, Catherine, I think, let me just interpret the body language on council. We're at the point now where we could propose changes or acceptance, amendments or acceptance.
A little markup.
Markup, thank you.
Yes. I mean, at some point, the council is going to want to vote up or down the conditions that staff has proposed. And there may be other council members who have either modifications to those conditions or additional conditions to suggest. And all of those will need to be voted up or down as part of tentative decision making.
So is it your advice that we put the main motion on the floor and then amend it with?
Well, there are some alternatives within. So perhaps if we just.
I was asking, Catherine.
I guess my suggestion would be maybe if there are modifications to any conditions.
Do that first.
That staff has proposed or additional conditions, get those out on the table
okay. So
that you have a discrete list of conditions to vote on.
Okay. But may I just ask, Catherine, there's some alternative conditions in the proposal. To choose from. So you're suggesting that we create the comprehensive menu and then go through each one and decide whether there's a consensus on which alternative? Or some substitute?
That would be one way to approach it. Another way you could do it is where staff has suggested alternatives, you could take the pulse of the council as to which of the alternatives you prefer to sort of narrow your comprehensive list of conditions in the hope that you could vote them all up or down in one vote.
Okay. Commissioner Fritz?
Thank you, Mayor Adams. I want to start this by prefacing it saying that both Recology and the neighbors and the Neighborhood Association, all parties have been highly constructive and tried to work together on this issue, tried to look at the principles involved and been respectful of each other. And that is the best kind of land use review. So I very much appreciate that. We have heard and I have read a lot of testimony about whether this facility belongs in the Lentz neighborhood. I would not want this facility in my neighborhood for various reasons, and I don't think it's comparable to the site in Northwest, which is currently in operation with a similar kind of use because that site is in the middle of a tank farm. It's not anywhere near a town center or a residential neighborhood. And I don't believe that this is the highest and best use of this prime industrial land. Having said all of those things, those are not the approval criteria on which I'm required to make my decision. So I brought with me the comprehensive plan, which I keep by my desk. And I wanted to read the instructions from the comprehensive plan, which is one of our highest codes that we have to abide by. And this is what it says for land use approval criteria and decisions. It's section 10.9. The approval criteria that are stated with a specific land use review reflect the findings that must be made to approve the request. The approval criteria are derived from and are based on the comprehensive plan. A proposal that complies with all of the criteria is in conformance with the comprehensive plan and will be approved. A proposal that can comply with the criteria with mitigation measures or limitations will be approved with the necessary conditions. A proposal that cannot comply with the criteria will be denied. So in keeping with my desire and belief that this is not necessarily the highest, best use of this prime industrial land near the Lentz Town Center. I was looking for pieces of the record that would could not be conditioned to be met. And that's what the standard that's required to deny a land use application is. It cannot comply with the criteria, even if there is conditions setting appropriate mitigation measures or limitations. So having come to that conclusion, that the three main issues that I found were lacking in the initial application, in which I got more information when the record was held open, were odor, insect pest management, and the issue of the good neighbor agreement. And so for, and also for noise. For odor and insect pest management and noise, all of those things are standards that can be addressed with conditions of approval, and that can, so that the application could be conditioned to meet each of those standards. So what I move is that we deny the appeal and uphold the hearings officer's condition, but with revised conditions of approval. And I propose that, this is still part of the motion, keeping all of the conditions of approval in the staff memo except for revised condition one, which we discussed at the hearing, saying that the facility may only be used to process residential source food waste and no commercial source food waste is permitted. A revised condition two to specify that it's 35 truck trips per day and not 35 trips, each making 5 or 6 trips. I wanted to make really clear that it's the same standard for Recology's big trucks taking them out, as well as the smaller garbage hauler trucks coming in. Then on the other conditions of approval, I find do meet the standard of making the application meet the approval criteria, except for the number 7 on the good neighbor agreement, which requires the good neighbor agreement to be finalized before the facility could open. That essentially gives the neighborhood veto power over the facility opening, which I don't think was the intent. And so I have a revised condition of approval. I have three revised conditions of approval, which I'll read into the record. One would be on odor, reminding everyone that confirmed violations of Title 33 odor standards shall be subject to BDS code enforcement policies. And that would then be clearly a condition that if there are odor problems that are confirmed, that BDS staff would take action on that.
Mr. Frist, just to be clear, that would be a new number 7?
I think it's...
we're just going to add those to the end?
So we're adding them to the end, whatever the number would be.
So this would be 7.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Fish. J, for insect pest management, that prior to obtaining occupancy approval from the Bureau of Development Services, Recology must revise the nuisance mitigation plan, which was Exhibit H in the July 27th submittal, to address the control of flies and yellow jackets and submit the revised plan to the Bureau. And then finally on the...
Just call that, just to keep it clear, can we call that Condition 8?
As you wish. And then
well, it's going to get easier because they're already numbered on the
condition 9. Thank you, Mayor. Would be the good neighbor agreement that prior to obtaining occupancy approval from the Bureau of Development Services, Recology must meet in good faith with the neighborhood association, the Lentz Neighborhood Association, for the purpose of reaching agreement on a good neighbor agreement. Good faith shall include at a minimum scheduling and being available to meet with the association for a minimum of 3 dates before opening of the facility within a 3-month time period from the effective date of this decision. Facilitation shall be provided through the Office of Neighborhood Involvement or a facilitator acceptable to both parties provided by the applicant. A report with a list of persons who attended the meetings, comments from both sides, and any participant or observer wishing to comment on the process and outcome, and documentation of any agreement shall be submitted to the Bureau of Development Services, the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, and City Council offices prior to commencing use of the building for food waste processing.
And can we call that substitute 6? Because that would be a substitute from the one that staff has recommended.
You may call it whatever you wish.
Well, I'm challenged with numbers. So what I'm hearing you say is odor is a new 7, pest management's a new 8, good neighbor agreement is a substitute for staff number 6, and I don't believe the other point you made about 35 trucks per day, I understood that was in staff's.
And if you look on page 3 of staff's memo, the recommended new condition said a maximum of 35 trucks per day. It should say truck trips per day so that it's clear that the same 35 trucks can't go back and forth multiple times in a day.
To be clear, it says 35 trucks delivering food waste to the facility, but that an additional 10 truck trips to and from the site per day, so that's 45.
Right, but the point is the word is trips is missing from the 35 trucks, and I wanted to make sure that the garbage haulers were not coming and going several times with 35 trucks.
I'm seeing you grimace on this. So.
Well, because the truck comes and goes, then to allow the 35 trucks, it would be 70
trips. Okay.
And then the 10 truck trips are
35 round trips.
Yes, there we go.
There we go.
Mm-hmm. But then you've added in your condition, Ms. Bergerle, at the in your staff report, Ecology is allowed up to 10 truck trips to and from the site per day. So that would be like 5 trucks out and back.
Well, we envisioned that perhaps the truck stays overnight on their site and then the trip will count. So it doesn't necessarily mean coming and going for their trucks, since they manage their trucks and they may keep it at the composting site, then come in, pick up, and then leave. They need to count each trip.
So it could be, it's 5 round trips, not 10.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do 5 round trips. And it's up to is the operative word.
Mayor, I just had a thought. But
you done?
Yes, somebody needs a second.
Commissioner Fish?
I'm just.
Second, for the sake of discussion, Commissioner Fritz's motion.
Okay.
Do you want to talk to the motion? You've got additional items?
No, I'm happy to have the comprehensive matter before us and then discuss it.
Okay. So this is the motion is to amend what the underlying staff recommendations. Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. Additional discussion?
So, Commissioner Fritz, in the handout.
Staff seen these?
Yes.
Yeah.
You've seen these?
Yes, I was given a copy.
So in the handout, L, the facility may only be used to process residential food source or food waste. No commercial source food waste is permitted. Did you add that?
I meant to. Thank you for reminding me. And that actually revises one of the proposed conditions from the staff from the August memo, because we discussed that the last time, and I think everybody agreed that we weren't expecting.
Know which one it revised.
But I thought, without trying to complicate this, I understood that to be the one that the alternate that you had proposed, 1A.
Yes. We suggested two options, but we wanted clarity with the decision.
Okay.
Yeah, preferred option that you...
Which is located where?
In Sheila's memo, number 1.
It's in the August memo.
1-1.
Yeah. Okay. 1-1.
So, yes, we would be going with 1-1.
Limited to residential source food waste.
Correct. That's the motion. That's the amended motion, and I accept it as a friendly amendment to the...
Mayor
motion
Adams, for purposes
amend.
Of clarity, both for the audience and for the council, it might be helpful to have Sheila or someone just briefly recapitulate each of the conditions, maybe to the extent
from
they're reflected.
Her report?
To the extent they're reflected in Sheila's report, to identify which condition on which page, so you're clear what you're voting on. Maybe you are. Maybe I'm confused, but it was the
Sheila,
discussion.
Can you do this?
Was quick.
I think so.
Okay, please proceed.
Okay, we're again looking at my August 10th, 2011 memo, and we'll address each topic based on the elements of that memo. So the first issue that was identified in the memo is the issue about residential versus commercial source food waste. And Commissioner Fritz has recommended that you use alternative A, that allows only residential source food waste to be accepted at that facility. Okay. Number 2, level of intensity. You're accepting both recommendations. However, to make it clear, Commissioner Fritz is recommending that we specify that it would be 70 garbage truck trips that sets the limit under recommended revision condition C. Under the recommended new condition. Number three, regarding ongoing monitoring and unannounced inspections, there's no issue with the recommended conditions that require Recology to allow unannounced inspections at the facility, and you're accepting a revision to condition G, which would require nuisance documentation and logging of nuisances and sharing that information with the neighborhood association, the East Portland neighborhood office, as well as staff per their request. Regarding noise, there's a condition that requires that Recology proactively submit noise analysis if they wish to operate in the facility during nighttime hours. And
we would add the statement that confirmed violations would be subject to code enforcement. Of course, that would be in place anyway, but just to put it in there to be a reminder.
Yes, that would be a new condition would be added that specifically states that violations to the odor standards will be subject to BDS code enforcement. Regarding emergency flood management, there's a condition would be added that requires the Recology facility to stop operations during flood events. And then finally, Commissioner Fritz is recommending a significant revision to the staff recommended condition, that the Commissioner Fritz's condition would require the parties work together, but would allow occupancy if there were an impasse.
And that's as to the Good Neighbor Agreement.
That's the Good Neighbor Agreement.
Did you also cover the insect pest management?
Thank you.
Excuse me. No, that would be another condition that would be added that would require that the Recology facility amend its nuisance mitigation plan to specifically identify pest control, insect pest control.
Sheila, did you also include the condition on page 3 that deals with hours of operation?
Sorry, I didn't speak to that specifically, but that was included in one of the staff recommendations that would, in order to limit the level of intensity, a condition would specifically identify hours of when food waste could be delivered to the facility and or accepted at the facility.
7 to 5 and then 8 to 5 on Saturdays.
Yes.
And then do you have another proposed condition about when the processing trucks could come so that there was an hour later than that the trucks could be there to take the...
No,
oh.
That was not recommended in our August 10th memo.
I think that I've had some discussions with staff on that, maybe while you were on vacation, Sheila.
Okay.
So the proposal from staff was to allow the processing trucks, the big trucks to take the yard, the mixed waste away, would be allowed to be there an hour after closing of the site, which would make sure that as much waste as possible could be taken off-site and not be sitting overnight.
So I'm going to pause this there. We can do more work. Catherine, do you have a reasonably accurate sorting of the proposed motion to amend the staff report?
I believe if I am interpreting Commissioner Fritz's motion correctly, it would be a motion to deny the appeal and uphold the hearings officer's decision as amended by the conditions that have been, well, the condition... Modify the conditions as Sheila identified in running through the list with the council. And this would be a tentative decision only. And once you vote, then we'll set a date to continue this over for adoption of findings.
All right. That's what we're voting on, unless there are additional discussions of clarity or any other discussions. Yep.
I need some clarity on the 35
round trips.
We're saying 35 round trips. I thought you said 70 a second ago.
It's 35
Excuse
round
me.
Trips
yes.
or 70 if it's...
Trips.
I think our legislative intent, it's the difference between a quarter and 25 cents.
So does that... That's in addition to the 10 that are allowed?
Five round trips.
Or in addition,
to the five round trips to haul the stuff away or the 10 one-way trips.
Okay.
Please call the vote on the motion to amend the staff report, to amend the staff report as described by Sheila.
Amend the hearings officer's decision.
Amend the hearings officer.
Including the amendments from Commissioner Fritz.
Including the amendments from Commissioner Fritz.
Leonard.
Lindbergh?
Leonard.
Leonard.
Sorry.
Okay. Sorry.
I have a concern with...
Bates you.
I appreciate some of the amendments, specifically the staff's work on addressing the issue I raised with regard to trips. That's very helpful. The amendment to the staff's report that includes some of Commissioner Fritz's language causes me some pause. I didn't get a chance to read it before coming to council. I was at a meeting, but in reading it here, I understand this is a vote on an amendment to the main motion, so maybe my...
Will the gentleman yield for a second?
Sure.
Would it be cleaner to do this in two stages, to vote on the staff proposal with the alternative one, and then present the amendment package so that we're separating the two?
I thought the motion was incorporating all of the amendments into one package. Am I wrong about that?
You're beginning to... I was just anticipating that you're...
I was speaking against the amendment that incorporated some of the language from Commissioner Fritz, as I heard it proposed.
Okay.
Am I right, Catherine? I mean, I thought you went through a process of actually adding numbers to the...
Yeah, we're voting on the motion. The motion will either pass or not. It's still subject to further amendments.
Okay.
But it includes Commissioner Fritz's
correct
handout.
Yes.
Okay.
It does.
Just so I'm clear.
And some redescriptions by Sheila.
Okay. So some of this is me reading some of this stuff for the first time. But my reaction to the Good Neighbor Agreement, while I greatly appreciate Commissioner Fritz's attempt to insert that, in my experience, for two parties to be equal at a bargaining table, they both have to be empowered. They have to have something the other side wants. And in order for any good result to come from negotiations, both parties have to have something at stake, and both parties have to have the opportunity to gain. And if you have a good neighbor agreement that's defined by meetings that shall only include meeting three times in a three-month period, at the end of which the operation can begin working, that's an imbalance of power to the detriment of the neighborhood. I don't think that was the intent by Commissioner Fritz, but that certainly is the result of this language. And so for that reason, I can't support this amendment. No.
Fritz.
Just to clarify, the good neighbor agreement language actually gives 4 months because it's from the effective date of this decision, which is a month from when we actually vote on it. And it sets a minimum number of three meetings. The incentive for both sides to bargain in good faith, apart from it being in the amendment, are that the report comes to council so that we are going to be reading as both sides' comments as to whether it was indeed a good process and whether they got what they were hoping for. And so since good neighbor agreements are not part of the zoning code and they're not enforceable by the Bureau of Development Services, I agree with you, Commissioner Leonard, on the imbalance of power. However, I don't think it's reasonable. It's not a reasonable condition of approval of a land use decision to give the power over whether it's approved or not to the neighborhood association. That needs to be decided in this process. So that's why I worked hard to revise the staff's proposal, recognizing that, as I said earlier, both the neighbors and Recology have been working in good faith and have been trying to listen to each other and work with each other. And so I have hope and that there is commitment on all sides to participate in this to get to probably more than we could require in standards of condition of approval. As I said when I began my remarks, if I had my choice and if it was based on is this the best place and the best use of this site, my choice would be no. That's not the decision I'm required to make under state land use laws and under the city's comprehensive plan. I'm required to say with the conditions of approval, does it meet the approval criteria? I believe with staff's diligent work on the conditions of approval they proposed and then with the amendments that we have added on odor, noise, insect management, and limiting it to residential food waste mixed with yard waste rather than solely a lot of commercial food, that it does meet the approval criteria, and that's why I vote aye.
Fish?
Well, just so that I'm not as confused perhaps as some people listening, I'm just going to restate what I think we're doing here. We're doing the equivalent of a markup to determine what would be the potential conditions of approval in totality that we would then vote on the main motion. So this is not a motion. This is not a vote on the main matter. It's on the potential conditions of approval which would apply. The August 10th, 2011 memo contains six categories of conditions of approval. Commissioner Fritz's amendment modifies numbers 1 and 6. Number 1 by specifying residential waste only. Number 6 by substituting a different good neighbor agreement. In addition, she adds a clause with respect to odor and insect pest management. And that becomes the complete list of conditions of approval. With that understanding, I vote aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Okay, now are there any additional proposed modifications to the modified, amended staff recommendations? All right, so we now vote on the underlying.
You would now be voting on the main motion to deny the appeal, uphold the hearings officer's decision with the modified conditions that you have just approved with your vote.
So moved.
Tentative.
This would be a tentative decision. That's correct.
Okay. So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Carla, can you please call the vote?
Leonard?
I think for a variety of reasons, this is not the appropriate facility to have at this site. It is a site that a number of us have been interested in for some time. I think it's 110 acres total and about 55 to 60 acres that are developable as an industrial site, a site that could create theoretically great family wage jobs, a site that could be a magnet for one of the most, if not the most challenged neighborhood in the city. This is not an enterprise that does that, but that's not one of the issues that is before us. What is before us is this an appropriate use of this property for what this applicant is proposing to do. I became concerned in the last hearing when the applicant testified that the number of trips that were being proposed to bring food waste into the site were governed by the geometrics of the site and the infrastructure of the street system. And the staff said, no, that's not true. The site is capable of doing much more. This decision has to be, we cannot make this decision in a vacuum. It needs to be made in the context of us making a major choice to decrease the number of garbage pickups in the city from once a week to twice a week to creating a huge incentive for people to recycle their food in the same garbage bin as their clippings are in, which is precisely the types of materials this site will accept. And it's just, and I appreciate what the staff put into the amended recommendations in their August 10th memo, limiting further the number of trips allowed at the site. But I've been here almost 10 years, too, and I understand the process. And I also understand that that can be come at one more time, sometime down the road, by the occupiers of the site, particularly given that we're doing this huge effort to have people recycle their waste scraps. So I appreciate the effort that my colleagues have devoted, particularly Commissioner Fritz, to find a balance here. And as most here know, I'm usually the one that makes amendments up here to try to find balance. But in this instance, I find that the neighborhood is at a distinct disadvantage in negotiating a good neighbor agreement, that the site is subject potentially to floods that are beyond the control of the applicant, and that for a variety of reasons, this is not an appropriate site for this kind of a business. No.
Fritz.
I said earlier that I wouldn't want this facility in my neighborhood, and since I'm the commissioner in charge of neighborhood involvement, I consider all 95 neighborhoods my neighborhood. And to a certain extent, although I value the recycling ethic that we in Portland hold dear, I am not convinced that this facility belongs within the city limits at all. However, it's been applied for on a land that isn't zoned industrial, that a conditional use is allowable, and the approval criteria with the conditions that we've put in, I believe, are met. And I do value Recology as a good industrial partner, as a service provider, as somebody, as a company that has worked diligently to meet the approval criteria and has gone back again and again to add information and give as much certainty as can possibly be provided, given that this is a different kind of something. It's very close to the Lawrence Town Center. It's very close to the light rail, which we've invested millions of dollars in. It's in a neighborhood which is up and coming and ready to boom. And so I'm confident that with the conditions of approval that it's not going to be a detriment to the neighbor in terms of odor and pests and other such things. And we've put in conditions that if it does become an issue, the company will be required to go back and address those problems. So thank you all for participating in this process. When I was a neighborhood land use chair and I got to a decision, I got a decision from council that either was or wasn't what I wanted, I always looked at what's next. And it could be that we need to look at the zoning on the freeway lands properties in total and look at take another look at the Lentz Town Center zoning and see what else we need to do to make sure that Lentz does continue to prosper. I do hope that as part of the Good Neighbor Agreement that there are discussions so that the good jobs that are being created at Recology will be made available in advertising to local folks, the neighbors, so that they will be getting notices when those good jobs come up. And in fact, this is an important point. There are hundreds of good jobs at this facility, and it'll be increasing in use. And in these tough times, we need jobs as well as we need neighborhood livability. And I don't think that this application as amended with conditions does impact the neighborhood livability, particularly since I'm confident you're going to work together to get to a good neighbor agreement. So thank you, everybody, for participating in this whole process. And thank you especially to staff. Been very diligent and helped. And the city attorney also has helped us wind through some pretty challenging need to understand what are the legal criteria on which we can make our decision, what's the basis for making a solid land use decision. Aye.
Mish?
I want to echo what Commissioner Fritz just said and thank the staff from the Bureau for an outstanding job, as always. And the memos that we get and the briefing materials are, as usual, of superb quality. It is, though, for us to take the information and make a judgment. And these quasi-judicial proceedings require us to be thoughtful and balanced and to look at both sides. And I think this has been an unusually thoughtful process, and I've had a chance to, as I said, read the record and all the materials, and I appreciate everyone who has participated. I believe that the amendments and the action we've taken today have resulted in a stronger application, which will have a better outcome for the neighborhood. I'm particularly important to me is that the Good Neighbor Agreement be structured in the way it is and have a chance to be successful. And I think among the conditions of approval that we've discussed, the ones that limit traffic and noise impacts, that ensure regular monitoring of the facility, and that prohibit any expansion without a new conditional use review give us very important protections. Also, nothing in the record that I've seen indicates that Recology hasn't been a good neighbor at other facilities, and I'm confident through this process that they will strive to be a good neighbor at this location. The search for the right balance in these kinds of hearings is often elusive, but